Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
If you have your Bible, hold it up. Let's make our confession of faith. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word, for the Word. Come on, give God a big praise for the Word. Amen. Well, open your Bible today to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 28. It'll be on the screen here. No compromise, 26, Acts 26. No compromise under that, almost a Christian. Now, we've been in this series for a few weeks. You can go to our website, check it out. Yeah, the whole series, it's free. It's there for you. You can download it. But right now, we need to know how to stand, be strong, and be courageous, not bend or bow. Amen? We need to know how to respond to a culture that's putting a whole lot of pressure on us to conform to the world. So the enemy, the villain that we're attacking face on in this series is compromise. That's what we're attacking. That's the villain of the story. That's the enemy that you and I have got to face, and we've got to conquer compromise. You and I don't want to be an almost Christian. Amen? You know, we don't have any idea what the early church went through in the area of standing up for their Christian values. You know, we think of, you know, all of the disciples except for John ended in martyrdom. And they tried to kill John, didn't they? John the apostle, John who wrote the book of John, the book of Revelation. They put him in a steaming, boiling hot, and they tried to burn him alive. It didn't work. It scared the emperor so much to see the supernatural power of John's God that he put him on the Isle of Patmos. That would be like Alcatraz, where the worst of the worst of the worst of the criminals went. That's where John wrote the book of Revelation. So Isaiah was sawed in half for his faith, sawed in half. Peter crucified upside down. Andrew on a cross, X shape. Timothy was stoned to death on the streets of Ephesus. Paul was beheaded for his faith. So if they had to go through all of that to birth the church, surely we can stand up for our faith at school, on campus, come on somebody, in the marketplace, in politics, education, economics. So how do we do that? That's what we're talking about today. Let's look at it, Acts 26, verse 22 through 28. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's standing before the emperor, King Agrippa. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing. And we know right now, if we ever needed to take a stand and be a witness, we're not going to change anything by cursing the darkness. We got to let our light shine in the darkness. Right now, bad, listen to what I'm about to say. This crystallizes everything that's going on. Bad ideas are getting front page news. Bad ideas are getting the headlines, all the promotion, and all the marketing. The good ideas are being silenced. Good ideas people aren't talking about. They're afraid to say anything because of political correctness. The good ideas are being squelched. You know what I mean? I mean this. What used to be bad is now good. What used to be good is now bad. What's bad is being promoted as good. And what was good is now being silenced as bad. So what do? We take a stand. We be a witness, both to the small and the great, saying no other things than those which he, the prophets, and Moses said would come. Standing on the word, Paul says. What does the word say? What did Moses say? What did the prophet say in the Old Testament? Basically, what he's saying is, we're going to stand on the word. Verse 23, that Christ would suffer death, burial, and resurrection. This is the gospel. This is what we preach at Church on the Rock. The virgin birth, Christ came, lived here for 33 years. He died, rose again, defeated death, hell, and the grave, obtained for you and I redemption. Glory to God. That Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Verse 24. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are crazy. Much learning has made you mad. Verse 25. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. Notice, words of truth are being silenced right now in our culture, right? And that's what Festus was trying to do right then, way back then, trying to silence words of truth. I'm talking about biblical worldview, all right? Verse 26, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention. He's saying King Agrippa has heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said none of these things has escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. Verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Look what Paul says. I know you believe the prophets. Verse 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, this is where we get our title for this series. There's only one more weekend, by the way. In November, we get a brand new series called Legacy. All right, but let's look at it. You almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Almost a Christian. Somebody with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Somebody that only runs to God when they need God or when they're in trouble. Somebody who's a chameleon. They're like the world when they're with the world, and then they're like the church when they're with the church on Sunday when they do show up. That's almost a Christian. That's a life of compromise to be men pleasers instead of a God pleaser. I can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. Now, that doesn't mean that we're, you know, that we're obnoxious, that we're rude, that we're abrasive, that we're super spiritual. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. Nor does it mean we become like the world to win the world. There's a balance there, okay? So this is where we get the term almost a Christian. There are a lot of people who are almost a Christian. They run to God when they need him. They run to the church when they need it. But when everything is good, they're gone. They're out of there. Almost a Christian. They look like a Christian on Sunday, but then on Monday they look like the world because they want to blend in. They don't want to stand out. They don't want to cause ripples. They don't want people to ridicule, make fun, or persecute them. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, now is the day we're going to have to take a stand. Either we're gathering or we're scattering. Either we're light or we're darkness. Either we're in or we're out. Come on, let's give the Lord a big thank you for his goodness today. The persecution the church is going through right now is nothing compared to the early church. If you want to know more about the early church and all the martyrs, you can get Fox's Book of Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's historically accurate and valid, and it's the real deal. And it will actually establish your faith more, I believe. We had to read it in college, had to do a book report on it. I mean, it'll absolutely change your view of Christianity. All right, next, let's go. Guys, next we're going to move kind of fast ahead. I've got some other scriptures. I want to pass these up because we've looked at those. Let's go to Revelation now, chapter 3. And this is the seven churches in Revelation. John wrote that. Remember, John the Revelator. They tried to kill him, boiling him in a hot boil of a pot of oil. Couldn't kill him. Now, isn't this amazing? Jesus had the 120 in the upper room. He had the 70 that he sent out. He had the 12 disciples. And out of the 12, he had the three that were the closest. And out of the three, the closest was John. John was the closest to him. In fact, remember he told John to take care of his mother, Mary, when he died on the cross? And so John took care of Mary. She had a house in Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus, up on the hilltop. It's all historically proven. But isn't it amazing? They couldn't kill the one who was closest to Jesus, John the Revelator. Amazing, isn't it? Tried to kill him, couldn't kill him. Sent him to the Isle of Patmos, be like Alcatraz today. The worst of the worst of the worst of the worst criminals. History says he planted a church there. History says John planted a church on the Isle of Patmos. It couldn't put a good man down. Amen. All right, so let's look at this, Revelation 3:14. We're looking at being a lukewarm Christian, a carnal Christian, an almost Christian, someone who compromises. And to the angel or messenger, actually to the pastor of a local church, God gives the pastor the vision for that local church. God gives the pastor the word for that local church. That's why every church has a different emphasis. Some churches are totally outreach. Some are totally inreach. Some are totally evangelism. Some are totally discipleship. You have some churches, they build all around the worship. Others on evangelism, bus ministry, children's ministry. So, but God gives to that pastor of that church the word for that church. And the angel of the assembly church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, this is Jesus, the trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin, the beginning, and the author of God's creation. So this is the church at Laodicea, all right? Next verse, verse 15. I know your record of works. God keeps a record of all of our good works that we do for him and what you're doing. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. Verse 16. So because you are lukewarm, everyone say lukewarm. So this is Jesus' mindset towards a lukewarm believer or so-called believer. This is Jesus' attitude towards compromise. This is how he feels about compromise. This is not an institution, organization, or denomination's viewpoint. This is Bible. This is Jesus, the Amen, the faithful, the trusty one, the origin of all creation. Notice that verse right there gets rid of evolution. Right? Right. You can't believe in evolution and be a believer, okay? But we have to believe in creation. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. Next verse. For you say, I am rich, I've prospered, grown wealthy, I'm in need of nothing. Oh my goodness. I need him more than I've ever needed him. How about you? And when you prosper and get wealthy, don't forget where it came from. They forgot where it came from. They forgot the source of their prosperity and increase. I've prospered and grown wealthy. I'm in need of nothing. And do you not realize and understand that you are wretched? He's talking to a church. He's talking to a church, not the sinner, a church. Those who are almost Christians, those who are lukewarm, those who are compromising. Do you not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked? Next verse. Therefore, I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined and tested by fire, that you may be truly wealthy and have white clothes to clothe you, righteousness, and to keep the shame of your nudity from being seen, and to salve to put on your eyes that you may see, have the right perspective on life, the right perspective about life, so that you can get a revelation and your eyes be opened. Your eyes be open. So here we see Jesus' mindset towards one that compromises. Right now, we're pressured, you and I, to compromise like never before. The church is compromising like never before. This is a word right now to the church. Wake up. Awaken to righteousness. Awaken to, you know, what God has called you to be, do, and have in this generation. Have the proper priority and perspective on life and go all the way, not halfway. So what I gave you 2 weeks ago, last week we had a guest speaker, Richard Montiez, And by the way, he texted me this week, and I can't tell you who it was, but he said, Dave, here's a CEO of a worldwide company, probably one of the biggest in the world. He texted me this week, sent me a picture, and said he flew in for me to mentor him today. You had him last week for an hour at no cost. We're blessed, aren't we, at Church on the Rock? We're so blessed. We're so blessed. So I gave you 2 weeks ago, we can't afford the cost of compromise. My dad taught me, who's in heaven today, Dave, what you compromise to gain, you will always lose. What you compromise to gain, you will always lose. There's a cost to compromise, okay? There's a cost to compromise. What is the cost? If you're a note taker, I would write them down. If you wrote them down a couple weeks ago, I'd write it down again, because through repetition comes wisdom. Through repetition comes wisdom. The Hebrew word for wisdom is to pound in, to pound in. So that means through repetition, you pound in, you get wisdom. Wisdom is strategy. It's amazing. Kim and I have not talked about the services. We never do. And she was in her prayer today was going to be my exhortation at the offering. If you notice, I didn't do an exhortation at the offering because she did it in prayer. Praise the Lord. Isn't that cool? Don't ever forget this. Strategy is more important than strength. Strategy, this is worth coming to church, online campus, on campus, TV ministry, metaverse, Spanish church. Strategy is always more important than strength. You see, Pastor, where do you get that? David and Goliath. Goliath was stronger than David. Your obstacles are bigger than you. But that won't mean anything if you get wisdom, strategy from God to defeat your enemy. David had less power, but God gave him a strategy, 5 smooth stones and a slingshot. All you need is a strategy for your marriage, for your ministry, for your money, for your business, for your health, for your restoration. You need a strategy. When you fall into all kinds of trials and tests, the Bible says in James 1, ask God for wisdom. Wisdom comes through repetition of the truth. Wisdom is properly applied knowledge to your problem. Can we have a witness in the house? Oh, praise the Lord. That was worth coming to church for. So we said that the cost of compromise, number one, is the loss of power, the loss of supernatural power. Now, we gave you in this study together over the last few weeks, you should be doing Bible character studies in your walk with God. You should be doing that. Peter Daniels used to come here, lives in Australia, multi-billionaire. He told me, Dave, if you want more courage and more strength, read biographies of great men and women. This is a billionaire's advice to me. Years ago, if you want to increase in courage and not compromise, read biographies of great leaders. So Bible character studies, that should be a part of our Christian walk. And one in the Bible that is great for no compromise is Daniel. Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Remember the 3 Hebrew children? My shack, your shack, and a bungalow? Some of you think, really? Really? My shack, your shack, and a bungalow? Yeah. The 3 Hebrew children. And then a Bible character study of one who compromised would be Samson. Samson compromised with Delilah. Delilah, her name in the Hebrew means to flirt. To flirt. Don't flirt with sin. To flirt. It brought him down. He didn't even know when he lost the power. He was going to a church that he thought was anointed, but there wasn't any anointing there at all. It was all personality and charisma. So you have Samson as a Bible character study of compromise. You have Daniel of a Bible character study of no compromise. So notice that Samson lost the power of God. You and I, when we take a stand, we're going to talk about it when we end this series next weekend. When we take a stand and we hold on to our faith and we don't compromise in the culture we're living in today, then we can expect to see signs and wonders, supernatural signs and wonders at our house. Not talking about church, at our house, we can see signs and wonders in our home, in our marriage, in our family, in our health, in our business, in our career, in our education, in our economics, in our relationships. Number two, we said, was a loss of God's favor or promotion. A loss of God's favor or promotion. I can't expect God to favor me this week if I'm going to be a chameleon this week. I can't expect God's favor with people, places, or position if I'm compromising. I lose God's promotion. Number three, we said the cost of compromise is I lose God's presence. I lose the anointing. I lose His presence is His anointing. And you and I want His presence. We want to practice His presence. How many are still reading the one-year Bible with me? Seven of you. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm thankful. You know, this morning it was in Psalms, it was Psalms 9. And I love it because in Psalms 9, I was reading my one-year Bible today, and it was talking about in the morning, thank God for His loving kindness every day. That's how you start your day. Winners start their day a particular way. Winners start their day a particular way. I said winners start their day a particular routine. And then in Psalm 9 in my one-year Bible today that we're all reading together as a church, if you fell off the wagon, get back on the wagon, it said, every night, thank God for His faithfulness. Every night you end your day. How you start your day and you end your day determines how you sleep at night. How you start your day and end your day, it determines how you sleep at night. If you're having a hard time sleeping at night, what are you doing right before you go to bed at night? The last thing you watched, the last thing you did, the last thing you said, it affects your sleep. So it's important then that we understand in His presence is fullness of joy. If I'm lacking joy, it could be that I'm not able to receive His joy because I'm not in His presence, right? In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, all my enemies, discouragement and fear, anxiety and worry and anger, melt in His presence. In His presence, He shows me the path I should take. And the path that I take determines the life that I live. I get guidance in His presence. So see, compromise, the cost of it, I lose God's presence. I lose my edge. I lose my edge. Now, what a lot of prophets are saying right now, I've listened to several of them. A lot of them are saying the next move of God is going to be the glory of God like never before. And the Bible says the latter days will be greater than the former days, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon the church. That's biblical. But the glory of the Lord, you know what it is? The presence of God. So they're saying, you know, that the next move of God before the rapture of the church will be an outpouring of the presence of God. I don't know if you've ever read the books by Charles Finney. Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney? Back in the 1800s, he was a lawyer turned preacher. And it's documented. It's in newspapers of New York City. He would walk into a factory and people would fall down and repent and get saved without him saying anything. He would walk into a neighborhood. People would fall down and repent, get born again without him saying anything. The presence of God. Oh, my goodness. All right, so the cost of compromise is I lose God's power, I lose God's promotion, I lose God's presence, and then number four, we said I lose God's protection. I lose His protection. Pastor, give me verse. Psalm 91 talks about we have ministering angels who guard our path. But if you have an amplified version of the Bible, it says that our angels guard those who are living a life of obedience and no compromise. That's what it says in the Amplified Bible. So God is not obligated to protect me if I'm breaking the law. God is not obligated to protect me if I'm outside the realm of his biblical principles and I'm an almost Christian. God's not obligated to protect me. God's obligated to protect me when I'm living within his biblical principles, when I'm living within his biblical laws. So the loss of God's protection, Psalm 91 won't work for me. And then we said the loss of God's potential for our life. The loss of God's potential for our life. Wow. The loss of God's potential. We'll miss out on who God met us to be. If you're here at the beginning of the service, we make a confession. I lead you in a confession that we won't be average and we won't be mediocre. We start every service with that now. I lead it at the very beginning. That we won't be average, we won't be mediocre, that we're going to become all that God created every one of us to be, right? But if I'm an almost Christian, then to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. What does that mean? If I'm carnally minded, if I'm a carnal Christian, if I'm a compromising Christian, if I'm an almost Christian, it doesn't lead to my destiny, it leads to my death. I fall short of my destiny. Powerful, isn't it? Powerful. Now, let's continue with that. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1 in your Bible with me, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. I love Psalm 1. I love it. I love this psalm. I encourage you to take it and memorize it verse by verse. You know, take a few months and work on it. Maybe the rest of this year, make it a goal. But Psalm 1, I want us to look at this chapter because this also talks about living a life of compromise versus living a life of no compromise. It contrasts, everyone say contrast, it contrasts an ungodly person versus a godly person. And it's our choice if we're going to choose to be a godly person or an ungodly person. It's our choice if we're going to be hot or cold, light or darkness, a sold out Christian or an almost Christian. It's our choice. It's up to us, right? If it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. We have to take responsibility for our own life and choices. So let's look at it. Blessed. Everyone say blessed. Now, circle the word blessed. Check it out. Go to a Strong's Concordance dictionary or Vine's Old Testament Words dictionary, and the word blessed there means happinesses. Oh, that's awesome. Notice it's not singular, not happy, but it's happinesses. It's plural. So in other words, it means in every area of your life, family, marriage, money, education, economics, career, business, relationships, health, and mind, soul, and spirit. In every area of your life, it's God's will that you be happy. Happinesses. God has a place of happiness for every platform in your life. God has a place of happinesses for every platform of your life. Oh, I love that. That kind of demolishes the thing. Well, if I give my life to God, I'm going to give up a life of happiness. No, you're going to gain an abundant life of real happiness in relationships, in everyday life, in your health, in your finances, in your career. So say it with me, happinesses. So a cost of compromise is I lose happinesses. Happinesses, it's plural in the Hebrew. Old Testament, Hebrew, New Testament, Greek, Latin. So it's happinesses. You and I, God wants you to be happy in every facet and dimension of your life. But if I'm ungodly, it's not available to me. If I'm almost a Christian, I can't claim it, name it, blab it, and grab it. Blessed happinesses is the person who doesn't compromise, is what it says. Happiness is, so the loss, another cost, add to your list, is the loss of happinesses. I'll never be happy. I'll never be satisfied in this church or any other church, with this marriage or any other marriage, in this relationship or any other relationship, in this job or any other job. If I'm not in sync, if I'm not right with God, I'm not right with life. Okay? So happiness is to the person who does not compromise. Happiness is to the person who separates themselves from the world and the culture of the world, and they're renewing their mind and being conformed into the image of Christ. Happiness is to the person that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner. Happiness is, I lose that when I compromise, to gain favor with sin and sinners. When I develop a relationship, I said relationship, with sin and sinners. Far beyond friendship, you and I need to have friends. Jesus was a friend of sinners. But you know what I'm talking about, to the point where they change me and I don't change them. You and I are to change them and them not change us. We're to be friends of sinners, but they are not to change us. We're to change them through our lifestyle, light and salt. So in your list, number six, it should be the loss of happinesses, the loss of happinesses in every area of my life. To the person who happiness is to the person that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So I want you to see going backwards is progressive, and going forward is progressive. There's no being static in God. Every weekend, we try to improve your experience at Church on the Rock in every department. I said to you earlier, here we've done it for 30 plus years, a hallelujah night and replace, you know, Halloween. We call it Eat Sweet. We got Eat Sweet from Disney years ago. They call it Eat Sweet when they do it out there, okay? That's where we got the idea years and years and years and years ago. We got it from Disney. All right, so Eat Sweet night, you know, what did I tell you? We're improving it. So if I'm not improving, I'm getting worse. If I'm not moving forward, I'm moving backward. If I'm not reading my one-year Bible, if I'm not increasing in my praise life, in my prayer life, if I'm not increasing in reading the Word, if I'm not increasing, I'm going backwards. If I'm not improving, I'm getting worse. There's no standing still in life or with God. Come on, somebody. You know how all these years, we're celebrating 39 years. We've outlasted all of our enemies. When you've done something this long in a business or a marriage or a career, you've outlasted all those at the beginning that said you'd never make it. One of the ways you outlast everybody else in a marriage, you keep working on your marriage. One of the ways you outlast all the other churches, all the other ministries, or all the other businesses that you are in is you keep improving. You keep improving. When you stop improving, your competition will take over and win. When you stop improving, your marriage will deteriorate. When you stop improving, your relationship with your children and your children's children will deteriorate. Am I helping anybody today? All right? So this is progressive, going backwards. You don't backslide overnight. You do it over time. Well, we can't make it this Sunday. Got it. Well, we can't make it next Sunday. Well, now the new thing is, you know this, I know this, once a month. People who say they go to church once in a month, they say that's commitment. That is not commitment. If I came to our house once a month, they say, Kim, we're married. How many know that wouldn't fly? Come on, I'd be El Kabonged, right? Quick Graw McGraw. Remember those commercials, those cartoons, Quick Graw McGraw? I'd be El Kabonged. Little Louie would, El Kabonged. It won't work. Same thing with God. Can't just show up once in a while. It's got to be commitment. There's a cost to commitment and there's a cost to compromise, right? So you don't backslide overnight, but you do it over time. It happens. You don't mean to do it. Well, I'm busy. We started a business. Can't be there on Sunday. Well, you know, my kids got this on Sunday. I get it. But if you do that every week, you do that every other week, you're going backwards. You are going to backslide. Either I'm going backwards or I'm going forwards. Either I'm improving or I'm getting worse. There's no in between. And notice those who say, I am not going to have a relationship with sin, that's habits. And I'm not going to have a relationship with sinners who conform me. And as a result of that, no compromise, I'm going to have happinesses in every platform, every segment, every part of my life. Truly blessed and not cursed. I'm done. Give the Lord a praise, would you? Come on, let's thank Him for the Word.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.